microphones down because I might knock them over and call it Baptist bowling or something. Some of you got that. Some of you a little slow. Dave finally got that. It took him a little time there. Turn to the book of Zechariah this morning. That's towards the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah, probably not a book, one of those books that we don't always hear messages from. But this is one thing that I do really enjoy is we're preaching through the Word of God. We're taking time going back between the Old Testament and New Testament and preaching a message from each book of the Bible. We get to sometimes get into a book or hear a message from a book that we normally don't and try to find sometimes some thoughts there, something that we're not as familiar with, but other times it's very familiar, and I'm glad it is, but it's some great truths there. We're going to look in Zechariah chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Let me just give you a little thought here, what is happening, what is going on. Now we are introduced here again to Joshua the high priest. And Joshua the high priest is as a representative of the priesthood. Now as he's representing the priesthood to there to Israel, he's represented in as filthy. He's represented as dirty in the sight of the Lord. But God is going to do something in the life of Joshua the high priest. He's going to do something different there. He's going to make him a vessel of honor. He's going to give him different garments than the garments he had. And we're going to see how this represents even us in regards to relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what type of garments do you have this morning? And that's the thought I want us to look at. What type of garments do you and I have on this morning? Now we understand dress in our day and age, and dress is important. Just in that day and age, how an individual would dress was very important. Those that have studied or those even been in Israel, we've had the opportunity as we went, we got to see how the high priest would dress and how a high priest should dress and the different coloring and what the coloring means and even the tassels on it and the prayer shawl and the head coverings and all that was taking place of the whole entire and the whole outfit there and what was worn. And that was, played a very important role. And the high priest was very important. It was a representation there of the priesthood and the people of Israel. When Joshua first appears in this chapter, he's dressed in his in filthy garments. And God promises to change his raiment or his garments. Now, most of you have been around children long enough, either your own or others, to realize children get dirty pretty quick. Some of your husbands get dirty pretty quick. Some of you have individuals in your life that it doesn't matter what type of clothing you buy, it doesn't matter how much money you spend on those pairs of shoes, they wreck them very quickly. Anybody have anyone like that? Anybody have you spend a lot of money on something and they go wear it to do something they should not be wearing those clothing for? Some of you have those too, huh? Some of you have individuals that you buy them something brand new and they decide to go do church work day in. Oh, I'm not raising my hand. And you do certain things like that, right? Or you get a brand new pair of shoes and you decide they're dress shoes, but you don't want to change your shoes, so you decide to ride your bike or something with those on and something happens. Right, Rich? You've been there, huh? And you have that. Here is an individual that has the wrong garments on for the position he is in. But God is going to change those garments. If you're able to, please stand with me. Zechariah chapter 3. Let's read verses 1 through verse 5 this morning. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I have clothed thee with a change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my way, and thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts. And I'll give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the truth you want us to see. Glean it. If there's one unsaved, Lord, you would save them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Israel, at this point, is wayward. Israel, this point of their life, is not living for God. Now, we understand Israel. What happens with Israel is the same thing what happens with many believers today. We go in that circle of life, if you will. There's times in our life that we're living for God. There's times in life when we're not living for God. There's times when we're not living for God. God convicts us, gets a hold of us, we repent of it, we turn, we get back right with God. And we live for some time right with God. And then all of a sudden we allow sin back into our lives. And because we allow sin back in our lives, we're not right with God again. And we keep going through that same circle of life. That's what Israel continued to do. And sad thing is, that's what many believers continue to do in our lives today. We keep going through that circle. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to have a desire to live for Him, to serve Him, to have your sins confessed, to keep that accountability, to keep that daily examination, make sure there's nothing between your soul and the Savior, and to be right with God on a regular basis. But I am so glad when we go wayward, God wants to get a hold of us. I'm so glad God didn't just save you and say, you're on your own, I don't care about you anymore. God still cares about you after salvation. God cares about you. Jesus Christ cares about you. He didn't just die for you. He loves you, and He's there to sustain you. He's there to help you. And Jesus is there each and every day of our lives, and He wants you. He wants me to have a desire. He knows we're not going to be perfect, but He wants us to desire to live for Him. And when we go our own direction, we go our own way, we go a wayward direction, I'm glad He's still there. Jesus is still there with their stretched out arms, and my child, come home. My child, come back to me. My child, I want you to come unto me. Israel's wayward. I want to ask a question this morning, and only you can answer, and I want you and me to examine ourselves this morning. Would you be where Israel's at this morning? Are you wayward? What do I mean by wayward? It means that you do not have that strong desire to live for God. I'm not saying you're not saved. Salvation has to do with faith and faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking this morning, are you wayward? I'm asking, do you have a desire to even be here this morning? If you don't have a desire to be in church this morning, let me tell you, you're going wayward. Let me ask you, do you have a desire to be in the Word of God this morning? If you don't have a desire to be in the Word of God this morning, you're going wayward. Do you have a desire to witness? If you don't have a desire to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going wayward. You see, going wayward means we're going opposite of the direction of the Word of God. That means we're going in a different route than God wants us to go. We're going a different way. If we're going wayward, that means we are not going the direction God wants you to go in your life and my life. God wants us to live for Him and to serve Him. What direction are we going this morning? I want you to see a picture here. Look at verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. He was dressed in dirty, filthy rags. If you would study this out, that word filthy carries the idea of being disgusting. It means being grotesque in his clothing. And I hope you get the idea what I mean by grotesque and disgusting. It was not something appealing what he was wearing. And I believe, if you study this out, I believe there was even a stench associated with the dress. When you're filthy, you do smell. How many, now I'm not trying to be gross this morning, but how many have been around an individual that has not bathed themselves or taken the proper precautions to clean themselves that as they should, and they start to have a stench about them? Anyone been around that? Anyone been a bunch of junior high boys at camp? You'll smell that really good. And that smell starts to come out. They have a thing going on to see who cannot take a shower the longest and wear the same clothes the whole week long. It's a competition. Their parents bring them all these clothing and all these things. I remember one of the years Matthew went with us to junior camp. Matthew had all these clothes packed, had everything packed. And the end of the week, I told the boys to pack their clothes. And I looked at Matthew's suitcase and I couldn't believe it. All these clothes were nicely folded and put all together. I said, Matthew, when did you have time to fold your clothes and put them so nicely together? He goes, well, I didn't wear any of those. I have the same thing I wore the first day here and wore the same clothes the whole week. Well, I wonder why he smelled just a little bit. And so there's that stench that comes with our clothing. And the whole idea is we see this is a picture of filth. This picture of filthy clothing. Here is a man who is the high priest, who was the individual that was supposed to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the individual that was put in this position, should have been in fine raiment, fine clothing, yet he appeared with filthy clothes. Now we're going to see what God's going to do. But what a picture for us, the garment stain of sin. This is the first garment. This is the garment stained with sin. Let me ask you, this is a picture of us before salvation. We could go to Isaiah. We could go to other portions of Scripture this morning. You could go to Isaiah 64:6. You can go to other portions. And you will see the Bible tells us what we were before salvation. How filthy we were. How dirty we were. Just as his clothes were disgusting and unappealing, you and I are unappealing in the sight of God because of our sin. Our sin has separated us from God. We are filthy. All our righteousness is filthy rags. We are unfit, unable to stand in the presence of the Lord. We're unable to come before God. Now, those that know the Old Testament a little bit, what happens? What did the priests have to do once a year? They had to go to a place, and they went to the place of the holies of holies. But when they entered the place of the Holy Holies, what had to happen? They had to be right with God. If they had any filth in them, spiritually speaking, any filth in them, what happened when they went into the Holy Holies? What did they have to do? They got a rope tied around them, right? And when they went in the Holy Holies, if they weren't right with God, what happened? They died. They dropped dead and they pulled them out. They went and got someone else, right? And that's what took place. The picture is this. You and I, the way we were born, we could not stand before God because of our filthiness. We know for all of sin to come short of the glory. We know those verses this morning. We know what the picture is. But the picture is you and I, in and of ourselves, cannot stand before God. We are filthy. We are dirty. We do not deserve God's mercy, God's grace. That is the picture of who we were before salvation. What does sin do? Go to Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in the trespasses and sin. What does sin do? Sin shows who we are. We are dead in the trespasses of sin. What does that mean? That means we are sinners in need of a Savior. That means we are not good people. That means we do not have good morals within ourselves. That means we're separated from God. That means our righteousness does not amount to anything. It means we cannot earn our way to heaven. That means we have nothing within us that is good. Go to Isaiah chapter 59 and look at verse number 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. What does our sins do? It separates us from God. We cannot stand before the presence of God because of our sin. Our sin has separated. And I know many times we say this, and many times we think maybe this is unkind, but the moment you and I are born, we are born a sinner. Your sin, the moment you enter this earth, you're a sinner. And your sin and my sin have separated us from God. There is not one person except the Lord Jesus Christ that walked on the face of this earth that did never sin, that was without sin. Jesus Christ is the only one. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. The reason the Ten Commandments were given were not for a way of salvation. The Ten Commandments were given to show people their need of salvation, to show that they are a sinner. If you would take the Ten Commandments, there's not one person in this room that obeys all the Ten Commandments. And that doesn't mean if you obey them all, you're saved. No, it shows you that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, because you and I are a sinner. We are filthy, we are dirty, we are unclean, and we need a cleansing. We need a change of garments. The Bible says, because of our sin, this sin, the garment stained with sin, not because God does not love us, but because we have chose sin over God, we will spend an eternity, if we do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Now some people say, well, that means God's not love. No, God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is love. But God cannot allow sin into heaven, because God is holy, God is perfect, and sin has no place before the presence of God. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. That's why he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die, to take away the sins of the world, to give man hope of eternal life. And that hope is found in Jesus and him alone. And you must put your faith and trust in him and trust nothing else for salvation. And that sin, garment of sin, is filthy, is dirty. Do you know what the picture of sin today is? People laugh at sin. You see, the picture here is it's disgusting. The picture here is he needs his garments changed. The picture in our world today, people will mock and laugh. Oh, I can't believe you think sin's that big of a deal. It's not that big a deal. We laugh about it when we watch it on television programs. We laugh at it when we see it in other forms of entertainment. We laugh when we see it at Walmart and at different places. We laugh at all this. No, wait. Sin is sin. And it's filthy. It's dirty. It's disgusting. It is not something we should laugh at or take lightly. And understand that this world is full of sinners. And you and I are sinners. But if we're saved, we're saved by the grace of God. Sinners saved by grace. But there are many who are lost in their sins, and they have the garment of sin still stained on them. But as we say in that song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not only do we see the garment stained with sin, I also want you to see in verse 4, the garment of self-righteousness. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with the change of raiment. Someone had to do the change of raiment. We're going to get in a minute. But here's the second garment The second garment is a garment of self-righteousness. Someone changes clothes. Someone change your life. You can do it yourself. See, there's many in this world today that think if they have dirty, disgusting clothes on, that they can change themselves. How many babies can change themselves? Now, I tell you, babies are one of the cutest individuals ever, but they're the most disgusting individuals ever, okay? I don't know how some babies can stay satisfied in a dirty diaper, okay? I don't get it. I don't know how they can slobber all over themselves and it does not bother them most of the time. They are the most disgusting individuals in the world. And most babies, till they reach a certain age, have a hard time of dressing themselves. Now, some can take their clothes off, and they take the clothes off even when they're not supposed to. But many of them have a hard time putting the clothes back on. Some even take their diapers off, Rich, when they're not supposed to. And then there's a trail of stuff as well. And there's all that there. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been around. All right, I'm not trying to be disgusting. I'm just stating the facts. And this is taking place. But what has to happen? Someone has to take the baby, take the clothes off the baby, wash the baby down, clean the baby, put baby powder on the baby, lotion on the baby, so the baby smells good and the skin is soft, and they reclothe the baby in clean clothes. It lasts for 10 minutes and you got to do it again. Now, here's the thought here. So many in this world try to change their own garments, and it doesn't work. You see, every one of us is filthy, stained with the filthiness of sin. Many in this world know and not happy with their lives. They're not happy with their sin. They're not happy with some of the disgusting things. They're unsatisfied. There's a void. There's emptiness. There's something they're searching. That is why many religions are full today. Religions are full. Do you know why religions are full? Because people are searching for something that they can do to take away their sin-stained garments. Because religion is based upon man. A relationship with Jesus Christ, true salvation, is not based upon a religion, but it's based upon a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And many in this world are searching for a religion, something they can do to take away their sin-stained garments. They want to be able to work themselves to heaven. They want to be able to attain it. This is what is happening. Religions, even during this COVID era, even during this time, even during this period, is filling up where true Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches are not. Why? The reason is this. People want something they can do. Because it's just too easy to put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just too easy to repent of my sin and realize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior and realize Jesus paid it all and all to Him I owe and I got to put my faith and trust in Him and call upon Him and I shall be saved. That's just too easy to do. I must have to be able to do something to earn salvation. I must be able to have to work some way or do something to bring about it. I must have to be baptized. As we said, baptism does not save. No work saves an individual. I must have to go through some rituals. I must have to go through some training. I must have to go through this step, that step. I must have to jump through this hoop or that hoop. No, salvation's found in Jesus Christ. But religion says you have to do something. That's a garment of self-righteousness. There are many individuals that are well-meaning people. They mean well. They try to be moral. They try to be ethical. They try to further the kingdom. They try to do certain things. But all they're doing is doing self-righteousness. They're trying to turn over a new leaf. They know their life isn't what it ought to be. They know they were involved in immorality and wickedness and drunkenness and all those things before. And they say, well, I got to stop swearing. I got to stop drinking. I got to stop being involved in immorality. I got to stop doing this. And they try to change it and have a new leaf. What they're doing is trying to take their old clothes off, their old garments, and they try to put on a new garment themselves, and they're trying to change it. And they're trying to get rid of the old past and the old habits and the old ways of life. And they try to change that. That is trying to be put on the new garments of self-righteousness. But self-righteousness does not change you. See, the high priest, Joshua, was a picture between him and the people of Israel and the wayward condition and the sin that was given there. He was filthy. There was the garments of self-righteousness. But let's look at this third garment real quickly. That I want you to see as we see and what takes place. This is the garment of salvation. Look at the end of verse 4. Well, we'll read all of verse 4 and verse 5. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. This is the garment of salvation. This is the garment of change that takes place. And this garment that is described here is the garment that we can rely to as recognize as the new birth that we have in Christ Jesus. This is the garment, the change. And it says, who's going to change? The Lord's going to change the garment. The garment's going to be changed. Joshua could not change the garment. God had to change the garment. You and I, when we were born, need a change of garment, change of raiment. We were filthy. We were dirty. Some have tried to work their way. Some have tried to change it. They couldn't. But what needs to happen is we need to come to the place that we realize there is only one who can change you. There's only one who could change me. There's only one who could give you a new hope, new desires, new direction. There's only one that could remove your sins as far as from the east as to the west. There's only one that could change the garments of Joshua, and there's only one that can change your garments this morning. No religion, no church is going to save anybody. No individual has saved anybody. Now, people have been used of the Lord to show people what the Scripture saith, but man does not save an individual. God saves an individual. And what had to happen is God had to do the changing. That is why a program that is based on man's philosophy has never changed an individual. Because a program does not save. And the only way a person can be changed is from the inside out. If I had two watches, one was broken, one was working. I could take the broken watch and I could put it next to the good watch. Is that going to fix the good watch? I could take them and I could put them together. It would not change it. I can take the broken watch. I can bang it against the pulpit. I can bang it on the wall. It's not going to fix it. How do I fix that watch? You have to take it apart. And you have to fix the inside. You have to change the battery. You have to change the heart. You have to change the inside of it. You have to do something inside of it. And what has to happen for you and I to have a change of garment this morning? It has to take place inside you. It does not take place in the exterior. We can change all we want on the exterior. We can go ahead and take that shower. We can throw the clothes on. But the stench is still there. The dirtiness is still there. The filthiness is still there. Why? Because there's got to be a change inside. And that is Jesus Christ. And He's the only one that can change you. And that's the change that has to take place of the garments. We can try to fancy ourselves up. We could put on the proper attire outside. We can carry the biggest Bible. We can quote the most verses. We can give religious talks. We can talk about this and talk about God and how much we love God and how much all this means to us and how important this is. But that does not change what is in the inside if there's never been the change of raiment. There's never been that time in your life, my life, when my eyes were open and I realized my need of a Savior. There's never been that time when God humbled me, brought me to that place where I realized I was a sinner and I needed Jesus Christ. Where I realized that I have come short. And I could keep trying to live right. I could keep trying to go to church. I could keep trying to do things, but that was not going to bring salvation. There had to be that time in my life as a young boy that I realized that I needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And not that I had to do something magical. All I had to do was call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and He saved me. And when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I became a new creature. Old things are passed away, but all things become new. I didn't just get a new leaf. I got a new heart. I didn't just change the exterior, but something took place within inside me that no man can do. Only Jesus Christ could do. There was a change. I was not perfect, and I never will be perfect, but I have a new home, a new desire, a new life, and that is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and there has been a great change in my life since Jesus saved me. And that's the change that needs to take place in each individual's life. I can't save you. Your grandparents can't save you. Mom and Dad can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're saved. Just because Mom and Dad are Christians doesn't mean you're safe. Just because your grandparents are Christians doesn't mean you're safe. Just because you've been baptized doesn't mean you're safe. Just because you've gone through certain things does not mean you're safe. Salvation is a personal decision. That's why Psalms 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" It's a personal pronoun, my salvation. He is my salvation. That means it doesn't matter your age. That means it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what background you come from. It doesn't matter what teachings you've been taught. The Word of God says there has to be a time when you personally, me personally, put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. He is the only way of salvation. He's the only way for the garments to be changed. He's the only way for you to have a hope and home in heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. The garments had to be changed. Let me ask you this morning, what garments do you have on? Do you have the garment of stained by sin? Or do you try to put on the garment of self-righteousness? Or do you have the garment of salvation this morning? Let me say this, and I know things are longer with baptism and stuff, and I know we have fellowship, and I don't want to go long, but let me say this. If you truly have the garment of salvation on, and you know the Lord is your Savior this morning, you are to be different than you were with the garment of stained by sin. I don't put the exterior on to fix the interior, but when the interior is right, it fixes the exterior. And both need saved by works, but my salvation is shown by my works. I don't try to produce fruit, but when I'm saved, Jesus produces fruit through me. If I am truly saved, and I truly have the garment of salvation, my life will be evident of it. What garments are you wearing this morning? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you just take the truths that we see and apply them to our hearts, to our lives. Lord, most importantly, we do pray this morning, if there is one, no matter what their age, that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, that you would show them their need of salvation. Lord, that you draw them unto yourself. Lord, even this morning, someone could take the Bible and show them what the Bible teaches in regards to salvation. Lord, I pray that you help each of us as believers to have a heart for this lost and dying world, to realize there's those that are still in the stained sin garment. There are those trying to work their way to heaven. Lord, help us to take the truth of the garment of salvation and share it with them. Lord, I pray you just use your word in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Heads bowed.